Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord's speaking to some. I hear him saying he's speaking to some men out there that are watching tonight. Some young men. And the Lord is saying that he's dealing with some frustrations. He's pulling some frustrations out of your life. Some things that have been there for years and you've not even at times known why. A lot of it has to do with not having a proper father figure in your life. Regret, anger. The Lord is saying to you tonight, and I sense that it's more than one, that the Lord is beginning to break those walls down on the inside. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. I sense that you're born again, even Spirit-filled. The stronghold, God is saying that he's laying an axe to the root. We have testimony in here of men that have come through that, won the victory. Telling you there's levels of anger that are going to be going from you and you're not even going to know yourself. People that have known you for years, even wives, are going to see a difference. Lord, I release this anointing now in the name of Jesus. The glory of the Lord. Break it now. I call it broken. It was broken at the cross, but now in the name of Jesus, we command it so. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to hear about this. I guarantee you. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We all stand together and just lift our hands and just thank the Lord for his presence and what he's done in lives already tonight. It's going to be reported of. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We're going to, at the end of the service, give you the opportunity once again to share in giving. We taught a series around here not so long ago on the joy of stewardship. And many of you and other outsiders have heard of our blessings, our recent blessings, and we thank God for that. We had a follow-up Sunday after that tremendous blessing that we celebrated. And the Lord shared with us about not failing the test of prosperity. But I want to encourage all of you. Pastor Dave used to talk about giving, that it was a form of worship. Now, I don't have scriptures in front of me. I could stand here for a moment and probably come up with a few to solidify that worship and giving have their own similarities. But I wouldn't care if I was given to a ministry that had $1 million surplus in the bank. We don't have that, I can tell you that. I would not ever quit following the Lord because in giving, because your stewardship is something private and it's something relational between you and the Lord. Now hear this right. If you get this wrong and you say, well, Pastor said that my giving has something to do with my walk. In this sense of the word, when you give and it's between you and the Lord and you're stewarding something, that's very private and that's between you and the Lord. It becomes a form of worship. It becomes something that has come, the Lord has, you've privately asked the Lord and the Lord has dealt with you. And when you offer it up to him, I'm asking you for the joy of the Lord for all of you in the future. Maybe we haven't done that enough because sometimes we zip through it. when you offer your offering, at least when you're walking up here or prior to service or at any time, worship the Lord with it. Fellowship with Him. Let Him know that it's your joy to offer this to Him. And there's a joy that comes in that. There's a joy that He wants to experience with you. So please, let that be a part of your stewardship. Let it be a part of your giving. And of course, as I've said, we have ongoing needs. I mean, our blessing didn't take care of our future. We're still believing God for our future. So I appreciate all those of you that give out there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll get an opportunity at the end before you leave tonight. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Amen. We've already had a good service so far. I want to make some announcements. August 18th is a service that the Lord spoke to me about having a few weeks ago. And those of you that have been around and those of you have been listening understand that August 18th is going to be a miracle service. We're going to have it on a Sunday night. We're asking people to bring in people. We're going to do something. We're going to pray for, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. We are going to pray for anyone in our midst that might need prayer, but we're really honing in on asking that you pray, you ask people if they want to come and just be prayed for. Now, I'm going to say something. You understand this, but I'll reiterate it for anybody that's marginal, that doesn't understand. August 18th, we are not saying that there is a, yes. It's 19th? That's a Sunday night? Okay, thank you. Okay, so August 19th. So, and that's the 2018 calendar. Okay, perfect. We are not saying that time is more special in the sense that God wants to do something that He's not always wanted to do. You can get healed anytime because of the cross, okay? So we're not saying that that's a, quote, special time. That's just a special time that the Lord has instructed us to concentrate on that. We're also, and I believe my dates are on this, I didn't check. Well, I did kind of real quickly check. The 23rd is when I've asked us, anybody that wants to enter in, you can check that too if you've got your calendar. That's on a Monday, I believe, and that would be July 23rd through August 1st. We're asking that anybody that wants to come along and fast during that time, you don't have to do it all the whole 10 days. We also understand some things about fasting. We understand that fasting is not manipulating God, and we're not fasting to say, okay, God, if we show how earnest we are, you'll show up on August 19th. We know that fasting does a couple of different, actually does a few different things, just like tongues, has a multifaceted aspect to it. Fasting, it will kill unbelief. Matthew 17, Matthew 9, it will also preserve the wineskin. In other words, it kills the flesh. So when we begin to fast, we begin to prepare ourselves against that veil of the flesh that often is the hindrance to God doing what He wants to do. And that's not that God doesn't want to do it all the time. You can get healed on August 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. There's no special date, okay? He's not going to visit us any more differently than what He would any time that we say we're going to pray for the sick. So everybody got that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So please, fast with us if you can. If you can do 1 day, 2 days, if you can do any time. Hallelujah. And we just believe God that God's going to do something very powerful. Hallelujah. It's good to be home. We had a great time. We had a good vacation. Hallelujah. The good thing about, you've heard me say this before, don't go on vacation to get your peace. Have your peace before you go on vacation. Don't, because the thing about it is, if you go on vacation to say, I need to recuperate, when you come back, you'll go right back in the same mode. For years now, I've never had to go on vacation to physically or mentally or spiritually recuperate. You go into them, and it just makes it that, if from day one you're already relaxed, you're really having a good time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I need you to do some amens tonight, since you're up the closest, okay? Even if you don't agree, just say amen. Hallelujah. Let's see how, vacation was wonderful. Amen. Glory to God. He's doing good. That's what I needed. Hallelujah. No, we had a great time just to share with you, just so you're part of much of the things we do. We had a, we were able to get a cabin up in the Blue Ridge, and it had three stories, and it sleep 10. Well, Candy and I went a couple days early and enjoyed it up there, and it was really, you know, it's difficult. One of those beautiful, lavished wood, you know, cabins with a big fireplace and TVs in every room and a big hot tub on the bottom floor. And it's just really, you know, we suffered for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we were on the top floor, Candy and I, and we had our master bedroom had a balcony, a huge balcony, which I could go out there and sit. And early in the morning, Candy'd have my coffee ready. I'd go downstairs, get my coffee, come back upstairs with my coffee and my protein shake, and I could sit out there and just pray. And about 300 yards from the cabin is the Toccoa River, and I could hear it and watch the steam rising from the river. And it was cool in the morning. I actually had to wear a jacket the first morning out there on the, and deer would come through the backyard. I'm telling you, I was caught up in the third heaven. Hallelujah. It was really, really wonderful. And so we had a great time. We floated down the river. It's hot down here, but in that river, it's cold. It's nice, and you can cool off. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, I don't care to hear about all your adventures. Yes, you do. You can live it with me. Hallelujah. We had a good time. I enjoy one of my best times, of course, the kids were up there, and we were Nana and Papa, and, you know, it just, they're all over the place. It's a great time, and I got a chance to do some mountain hiking and running through the mountain trails, and what was the name? The Benton McKay Trail. It's a 300-mile trail. It started a few miles from, the trailhead was a few miles from our cabin, and I would drive down there a couple times early in the morning, just about daylight, and get started, and it was neat. It was really neat. I have my backpack, and they call it a camelback. It has a bladder thing, a bottle in there where you can fill it up, and you can just go for miles. And so it was neat. I got in there, back in there, where you couldn't hear a sound of a car, you couldn't hear anybody or whatever. One morning, though, amazing enough, I'm miles back in there, and I knew that nobody was at the trailhead start with me. And I'm hearing all these voices, and I'm like, my God, who is coming up behind me? And, you know, I hear this laughing and stuff. I'm thinking, they are really running fast. I'll get on those trails, and especially downhill, if I can get just a good gait where I'm just lightly, you know, I'm running. And trail running is really neat because you've got to watch your step, because you can kill yourself. And you don't want to break a bone miles up there and you're the only by yourself. So it makes you pay attention. And I heard these voices coming, and I thought, my God, what? They must be on horseback. And I know there's no horses up in here. Well, I looked, and here come these two young women on mountain bikes, and they're making their way up this mountain. And, you know, there's rocks and roots and all kind of stuff to maneuver. And they come, you know, I look and I hear them, see them coming. And I'm like, my God, this is amazing. You know, it's like you think you're doing good. And then somebody passes you up and they come by. They said, you know, I know you're really enjoying your early morning quiet walk up here with all the noise we were making, I said, I don't care. I said, you guys are impressive. They came by me, and I'm like, golly, I can't believe people can be in that kind of shape. It's really cool. So we had a good time. Amen? So I want to, we're going to go into the Word here in just a little bit. I want to say, I listened to some, when Candy and I were coming home, we were listening to the Word being preached. We started out with Homer, then we went to Gary, and then we went to Alan, and then we went to Jim. We heard Jim. They were all, you know what is amazing? We listened to those guys, and you can tell that they are all, and we are all being schooled by the same teacher. Hallelujah. It's just really amazing. And I listened to Homer's message. The Sunday morning was just awesome. I haven't heard Wednesday nights. It probably was too, but I was like, my God, yes, amen, amen, amen. And you think that when you're hearing it, you're like, it's almost like you know that. I know it, like I've known that, but you really realize you've never really thought it, meditated it out that far. But when you're in the Word, if you're a person that's in the Word and you pray in tongues, when you hear truth, immediately you know it's truth. And man, what he came out with Sunday was just totally awesome. On the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, and how he brought those nuances out on that being the church and set against religion, and being able to say, if we walk in that, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come to you. I thought, man, I was amening him throughout the whole thing. That was awesome. I appreciated his years of meditation and delivery on that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight we're going to minister a message that, and I think we may go into it next week as well. This may be just the first part. But you'll see why it's titled what it is when we get to it in just a moment. We're going to go to 1 Timothy in just a moment. But how we ought to behave in the house of God. The message title is How We Ought to Behave in the House of God. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to let you turn there. I want you to see it in your Bible. I have got it in front of me already. I will turn there as if I was trying to find it, so I'll give you the time to turn there. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you. We glorify you. We thank you for your great grace, your love, your compassion, for where you're taking us in the days ahead. Those that are watching, for the family that's watching, Lord, we just love them. We just love this family, for the brothers and sisters and the elders of God that are coming forth, strength and power. Teach us. Yes, Lord, teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, Paul is the writer of Timothy, and he is writing to his protege, his understudy, his student, and Timothy is learning from Paul. And 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul ever writes. But in 1 Timothy, Paul is saying some very interesting things to Timothy, and we're not going to go through the whole chapter, but he's continuing to give him instruction as a father would a student, as a tremendous teacher would a student. As I said, he's Paul's protege. But where we want to focus in on as he comes to the end of what we put aside as chapters, verse 14 of chapter 3, it says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is, comma, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, I love this, the pillar and ground of truth. That's very powerful. I've obviously meditated it quite a bit at times and come back over it today. So when you're hearing it for the first time, unless you've been in Timothy for a while, It takes a while for us to seed this, but let's just read it again. Follow along with me. In verse 14, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." Paul was hoping that he would come, and where Timothy was at. Timothy pastored a church. He pastored a huge church in Ephesus. "But if I tarry long," in other words, Timothy, "if I don't get there as soon as I thought I would, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God," which is, when he says behave thyself in the house of God, he's not talking to a five-year-old. He's talking about deep spiritual things here. He's not talking about behaving in the house of God like you take your kid to the nursery if he doesn't behave in the house of God. He's talking about how that you conduct yourself within the house of God. And he said, "This house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." Now, we're going to break this down just a little bit. We're not going to get caught up in too much Greek here, but the first word that we want to look at is oikos, which is the word house. And Paul mentions the word house here. And the word house here means a dwelling. It just actually really does mean a dwelling. But it also means a family. By implication, it means a family, home or house, or house slash household or temple. So when it does say that thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, it is both speaking of, could be, a actual physical locale, but also the expanded understanding of that is in the house or household of the body of Christ, the whole family of Christ. The word oikos means home, temple, or a dwelling place. The word pillar here, when he says this, which is the house of the living God, the pillar, and ground of truth. The word pillar here is the word stulos, and the word stulos, having turned the page, it means this, it means a post, an actual post, a pillar, or a place of support. It's a place of support. The last word that we're looking at is the word ground, where he says here, which is the pillar and ground of truth. Everybody say truth, because that's what we're after. He says it's the pillar and the ground of truth. It's the house of God is the pillar and ground of truth. The word ground here, hedra yoma, which means to support. It's a basis or it's a ground. Now, I'm going to put it in the best vernacular that the Lord gave me. The house of God, when we consider what he just said, the house of God is considered the place where the church meets. Out of it comes the pillar, something to hold on to. And he mentioned here the groundwork slash foundation. Both of these, pillar and ground or foundation, both of these speak of the place where sound doctrine comes from. Okay? This meeting place then was normally, at that time, was a house. It wasn't like what we call a church. The meeting places or the houses of God where the pillar was presented and the groundwork presented in Jesus' time. Sometimes he did go into the synagogue. He in Capernaum, it's understood that when it says that he went into the house, that he that was probably, most scholars think that was his house. That's the one they took the ceiling tile off of. And that was the meeting place that day. Many times the meeting place was a hillside or a seaside or someplace where he sat down and he ministered. But as they met at a locale, the pillar or the groundwork of God was distributed or exhibited, I should say. The house of God is considered the place where the church meets. Out of it comes the pillar, something to hold on to, the groundwork or foundation. Both of these speak of the place where sound doctrine comes forth from. This meeting place then, as I said, was in the New Testament and in the ancient antiquity. They didn't have these kind of buildings, so they normally met in people's houses. You can know, let me say this. You'll see as we grow in this message and as you begin to absorb and understand more about it, you'll understand how when Paul said, I want you to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, and this behavior was something to be exhibited for everyone. I will make this statement here. You can't know how to behave in the house of God if you're not in the house of God. That's real rhetorical, Pastor, and it's real true, too. This does not mean, when I'm talking about the house of God, it does not mean just how to act inside the walls of the church, but how to walk inside the household / family or kingdom of God. Paul could have said it this way. Now listen very carefully. Your ears are anointed to hear. Paul could have said it this way to Timothy. The meeting place for the family of God to meet is the place where the household of God meets. It is also the place ordained by God by which doctrine is taught, which becomes the pillar and foundation for the church of God to grow. Hallelujah. Jesus, we understand what he said in Matthew 16:18. I don't have that verbatim down. I just know this. It was upon the rock of revelation knowledge that he said, I'll build my church. Okay? If someone says, I don't care who they are, I really don't. If someone says meeting together at church, at a church location, is not really that important, mark that person. Mark them. Okay? Paul was adamant about sound doctrine. Now let's go to Galatians. Galatians, we'll see how adamant Paul was. Galatians chapter 1. And we'll read down through verse 9. Paul, an apostle, let me give you a chance. Should be there pretty close. Paul, an apostle, King James has it in parentheses, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, Galatia was a region, so he's not writing to one church, but many. But he's saying this in chapter 1 and verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel. Now, when he says he marvels, he means it. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, we'll go right into verse 8, but you've heard me say this before. We'll say it again. It bears repeating. From the beginning, I mean right after Christ left, Satan starts his barrage of trying to bring in false doctrine. In the first century, he had not only the Judaizers, he had the Nicolaitans. Remember the Nicolaitans out of the book of Revelation, where Jesus himself prophesies to John and he says, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I hate their teachings. And we trace that back and we say how important it is to serve God all your life and follow sound doctrine, because scholars trace the Nicolaitans back to the deacon Nicholas that was one of the seven that was ordained in the book of Acts, right along with Stephen. And it is understood, traditionally understood, that Nicholas became the father of the Nicolaitans, which come up with some crazy, and I know much of their doctrine, but it's just enough for me to say crazy. But it was out there, and Paul was dealing with it from the very beginning. In verse 8 it says, now this is how adamant, when I say he was adamant, it's Paul says this, but though we, those men that are traveling with me, or those men that you've heard that are companions with me, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now that's strong. In other words, Paul is saying this, if I ever derail, if I ever start teaching something that is contradictory from what I've ever taught before, and I come back to you, and I say, even though that I fathered you in the Spirit, and you followed me for a long time, but I was really wrong on all this, and this is not the gospel that I once presented, but it's now my new revelation of truth. He says this, that if myself, anybody that you know that is associated with me, or even an angel from heaven appears and teaches any other gospel to you, let that one be accursed. And that word means to be cursed, cut off, and go to hell. That's strong. That's very, 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 very strong. And he said, as I said before, verse 9, so I'll say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him, again, he says, be cut off. Is that strong or what? How important is doctrine? How important it is for us to be a part of learning how to behave ourselves, and we have an understanding of the word behavior by what we first presented is not the behavior like you make a child behave in church. It's understanding that out of the church, he identifies that, he says, comes forth the pillars and the groundwork, which is the sound doctrine. That's attaching ourselves to the church, by which is the nativity. Nativity is the birthing place. It's the birthing place by which, now, revelation is birthed in the hearts of men and women, but when they come in, it is spread about in a speaking forum. It is taught in a church. It's taught in a place where people gather. Is everybody with me? Galatians 3. Let's stick in Galatians for just a moment. Just share with you. We don't have to go very far in chapter 3. 1 through 5, Paul says here, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law. Now here, they're fighting against those coming in and saying you have to add the law to your walk of the Spirit. But it could be anything. It could be the greasy grace message. It could be, you know, the message of the Nicolaitans. But he says this, only, verse 2, would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He's talking about you can't go back under the law. That was the dispensation of flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We've got one other verse in chapter 5 just to show you. You may be familiar, but how adamant Paul was in making sure they stayed on the path. Verse 12, he says, I would that they which that they were even cut off, which trouble you. Now that's, we don't have to go any further in Galatians right now. He's saying these people, these men that are coming in and teaching false doctrine to the church, Paul said, it is my desire that they were cut off, that they had nothing else to do with the church, that they were gone, that they were cut off from ministry. You'll understand more about what I'm saying in just a moment. But I will say this, and I believe by the Spirit of God, the closer that we get to revival, the less tolerant we are becoming towards foolishness. Thank you for those yeses and amens. In the early days, I would let things ride. What do you mean, let things ride? I would hear things spoken in my presence, and I still don't determine to become the corrector of all men, that you can live your life. I mean, if I can let something ride at a dinner table or in a church passing, I'll let it ride. In other words, just let it go on. Just let it pass, if it's permissible to let it pass. But we are coming to an acclimation to where that Paul was. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, there was no tolerance of the foolishness that was trying to come in and separate the church and undermine. He right to start with, he hits them in the face and says, look, these guys are coming with another doctrine. It's different than the one that I've taught you. I want you to understand that if I come back to you and tell you anything different, or an angel appears to you in the night, I'm telling you by the prophecy that is in my mouth by Almighty God, that I say, let that one be cut off, let that one be accursed. How adamant I am to say, let that one be separated from Christ forever if they've come to undermine the truth. Now, I'm not teaching a rudeness. I'm teaching an adamant awareness of truth and an intoleration among those who walk in love for foolishness. I'll give you an example. And I have people here that can verify what I'm about to say. We had a real nice man, a real nice guy that used to visit the church. It's been a couple of years since he visited, I think. And he was a real nice guy, and he visited me at my home a couple times. And he acclaimed himself as a worshiper, okay? And you could hear him in our services. He had a beautiful worship voice. And I really sincerely believe he loves the Lord. And I really sincerely believe that he loves to worship God. He talks a lot about worship. I had a few confrontations with him privately concerning other things, trying to correct his doctrine on certain things. That was fine privately. I would not say anything publicly. One particular Sunday after service, after I'm saying they're gods, but I'm bringing them up to the way that I want to see worship presented, and they're gaining my heart. By the way, worshipers, worship team, if you weren't here early enough to know, because you wouldn't know, but we're going to be meeting for a season in my office about 20 minutes prior to service, and Harry knows about that now. So please, if you can, make it all points to be here. We're going to get, there's some instruction the Lord wants to give us. We're getting ready to go into this vortex, okay? That vortex is, you know what a vortex is, it's a tornado, but this tornado is not a destructive tornado. It's taking us into a fiery glory like never before, okay? So this guy, after service, he wanted to speak with my young worship leaders, and I invited, I think Marty was there, and it was right up here, and he had a, he wanted to lovingly sow something into us, and he wanted to lovingly, I could tell, correct something that he had a kind of a beef on, not necessarily with us, but it had been something that he felt like he had studied and he had, you know, he had an understanding on, and it was all about, he wanted to share, and it seemed contrite, he seemed contrite to start with. He wanted to share how that there is a misgiving and a misunderstanding and a mistruth in the church at large concerning the body being the bride of Christ. And his contention was that we were not the body of Christ, and that that we were not to teach that we were the body of Christ. And so he has my two up-and-coming worship, young worship leaders, and he's telling them that, and he's contrite by saying, I'm so glad that you guys basically don't believe that here, and I just had to speak up, and I say, but we do believe that here. We absolutely believe that here because that's the Word of God. And it kind of shocked him, but he said, but listen, we can't, us men, he was talking about, he was trying to build the masculinity. I think Marty was standing right there. He said, us men, how can we be the bride of Christ as being a man? It's just not possible. And I said, sir, let me tell you something. That is a scriptural example. It's a metaphor, but it teaches a perfect godly example. I said, the Word says he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust, but that doesn't make God a chicken. Listen, I don't have no tolerance for people that want to sow into and bring forth a gospel that is not the true gospel. Listen, if you come to me privately and you've got a contention against what I teach, I will not come out and display your laundry or your contention against what I'm teaching publicly. Now, later I may teach on it because there may be other people that have the same question. But if you ask me, now here's where we've grown. I don't let things ride like that anymore. If you ask me publicly, in front of anybody publicly, and that any publicly means to more than you and me, it could be one other person, I will correct you publicly. Okay? And the elders ought to learn to do the same, because those that are coming in, they are supposed to be conforming. Now, what I'm going to say, for you might catch this and say, no, that's not correct. That those that are coming in must conform to us. Now you say, no, they got to conform to Christ. They don't know how to conform to Christ first. We are the ones that are receiving the sound doctrine that is conforming to Christ. We can't let them come in and us conform to them. They must conform to us. And there must be no tolerization. Now we can be nice. We can be nice. But at the same time, we can't tolerate foolishness. Hallelujah. We as elders are accountable one to another. We can't allow another person in our presence to rail on someone else in the church. Those days are over. Okay? I love the way Candy ministers sometimes. If she hears a person talking, railing on somebody, she'll just say, you know what? Evidently, God has put this person on your heart for us to pray for them. Hallelujah. Amen. That usually shuts people up right there. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I will say this. those that speak contrary to the teaching, love them, but don't associate with them. Pastor, what? This is the Word of God. What I have just shared with you is the way that Paul. Our way is getting more narrow the closer we get to revival. Now, I'm not talking about your unsaved loved ones that don't understand what we're... I'm talking about somebody who regularly goes here and they don't, but yet behind the scenes, they're in contention. You're not to be associating with those people. And I'm not lording over you. I'm just, that's instruction. Whether you do it or don't do it, that's between you and God. But I'm telling you, that's the instruction of God. Hallelujah. How to behave yourself in the house of God. Are y'all still with me? Now, here is something that's not, you might say, it's not, if you go into that, well, it's not scriptural. I know where you're at. Not scriptural, like give me a verse for it. This is just the instruction that I've received from the Lord. Let me just, this is not a tangent. It's just something, we're going into this vortex. Let me just bring up something because he brought up something to me. Where I'm inviting the worship leaders to come in. We're never staying the same, okay? We're getting ourselves prepared for miracles. We're getting ourselves for the babies to come in here. The babies are going to come in here. I love the babies that are just, they don't have no kind of religion in them. I love all the babies. But if they're backslidden, half backslidden people that have been to other churches and gotten filled with religion, we're going to have to lovingly tell them how stupid they are. But we're not conforming to the way you used to do stuff. This is the way we're doing stuff. Now, you're just welcome like crazy to be here with us. But you got to be like us. Okay? Hallelujah. We have something here that the Holy Spirit has asked me to ask you to let's go and it's our, I would call it our, how could I say this, our pre-op. It's our pre-operation. You know, if you go to get an operation before, they don't just come in here, sir. They don't slam you down on the table and just start operating on you. You go in for pre-op. They'll get you relaxed. They'll start their anesthesia. And as soon as they turn on that knob, you're gone, you know. And, you know, they'll put you in your little, you know, gown or whatever. Our pre-op for where we're going is our pre-service worship. It starts 30 minutes prior to service. Now, if you hear this wrong, you're just not listening, okay. I don't want anybody to be a zombie. I don't want to put anybody under legalism. I'm just thankful to pieces that you're here. I mean, I'm just really thankful to pieces that you're even here. But I'm asking that 30 minutes is primarily devoted. I don't expect you to come in. I can't say nothing. I can't say hi. I got pastor. He's watching us. No, that's not what I'm. Come in. If you want a fellowship, come an hour early. I don't care if you're an elder and got a key, or you know somebody that's got a key. I don't care if you're here an hour early and talk it up. But when we get into that 30 minutes. Now this may make somebody upset, but I pray to God you get healed, and I'm gonna turn this way. Because I'm not trying to think of anybody, and I'm not trying to look at anybody. I'll turn back to you because my heart's pure on this. I would rather, if you're a talker, and I'm not blaming anybody because I've been there myself. I just got to correct my own self. If you can't sit and really primarily, and like I said, come in, give a hug. It's all right to talk a couple few minutes. But after 9:30, we're going into that straight. If you can't do that, if you're a talker, and I'll mention this again Sunday because not everybody's here. If you can't do that, I'd really rather that you didn't come to pre-service. Amen. Got quiet now. Yes, come at 10. Because if you're a talker and you come to pre-service, you're taking away from what God's wanting to do. Boy, did it get quiet in here now. Hallelujah. If you can't sit and just be quiet and worship, then just come at 10:05. I'd rather you come in late than come early and talk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, we're going into revival. I'm not asking you to be robots. I'm asking you to, this is something that I know that the Lord is wanting us to get ready to receive an outpouring. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 10. You know, sometimes people say, Pastor Bronx trying to, I don't know, I've never heard that, really. Really never heard that. Just get a bunch of people to act and look just like him. I don't want you to do that. I want you to be an individual. But I do want you to do this. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Isn't that amazing? Paul said that we all have to speak, and he's talking about this is how you behave yourself in the house of God, that you're speaking. When he says speaking the same thing, he's not taking away your individuality or asking you to become a robot. He's talking about doctrine, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. How can we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and judgment? That has to be in what we believe and what we say. Now, there might be a number of different things that you've got more or less an aptitude and understanding certain scriptures, but brothers and sisters and elders, at this point in time, if we're not all speaking the same thing concerning tongues, confession of the word, fasting, worship, all those basic principles, if we're not all saying the same thing, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Hallelujah. Here's a pillar in the house of God. Listen to this very carefully. Miracles, you need to get this one. Here's a pillar. Miracles are not the confirmation to sound doctrine. The Word of God is the confirmation to sound doctrine. Do you need to hear that again? Miracles are not the confirmation of sound doctrine. The Word of God is the confirmation of sound doctrine. And the reason why that he wants you to understand that, we'll give you some scripture on that in a minute. What if someone comes in our midst, if they come in our midst, or even if they come up from our midst, and they start performing miracles, are you going to start following them and esteeming them if their doctrine does not match the one that you've heard us teach for 20 years? Now, as far as I know, the greatest catalyst to a miracle is faith. It's faith. Just believing that God substituted Jesus for your sins and for your body. Now, I'm going to use Homer, okay? I believe I can do this without offending him because he's one of my best friends. I don't want to ever make him the poster child for what we call miracles, but we know the challenge that he's got. Homer doesn't really like attention, but he's spiritually mature, so he'll let me use him. If someone was to come in here and Homer's sitting on this front row, or if someone here was to get a burst of, let's say, the gift of faith come upon them, runs over, or they're visiting and they're here, either way, runs over, lays hands on Homer, bam, his eyes open, are we going to rejoice? My God, we're going to rejoice. Is Homer going to rejoice? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're going to rejoice. That would be a supernatural healing. But if that same person If that same person that comes up in our midst, if they begin to after or soon after begin to say, you know, I just love Pastor Bronk to pieces. He's a good man. I love Homer. He's a really good man. And we know that they've had a significant miracle. We're looking like, wow, God really used them. Thank God. Thank God. But you know, this same person speaking now, they're just, Pastor Bronk's just 1 degree off in this grace thing. He's just 1 degree off. And you know, Homer is just, he's just 1 or 2 degrees off and believing on, you know, the power of the new nature. And he equivocates faith and obedience to be the same, one and the same. Well, Homer's just a little bit off. And even if God had used them to open Homer's eyes, I know what Homer's going to tell them. He's going to tell them, you're stupid and you need to shut up until you learn. He'll say it privately. Maybe. Miracles do not confirm sound doctrine. Miracles do not give a place for anybody to be followed. The place to be followed is to learn the behavior of the house of God, which is the pillar or the foundation. Somebody said, no, I don't understand. A miracle, if God's in a miracle, listen, if you think that miracles and sound doctrine go hand in hand, I've got a scripture for you. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I know this is the far-reaching, but this just proves that miracles and are not always the proof of sound doctrine. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 says this, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called of God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know that, or what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Do you see that? Miracles can take, that's lying signs and wonders, or what we would call miracles. Satan can falsify, and he can bring in things that, so how many would agree? I think we would all agree that Satan has no form of sound doctrine in him. But can his false prophet in the end bring forth, it says, with all deceivability or deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. Please, we are those who, I believe with all that is within me that we are Joel's army. I do not believe this is going to be a one-man show. I believe that there are women in here and men in here that are going to be equally used in the power of miracles in this last day. And there is going to be no jealousy on any of our part that you are raising the dead. What did Homer say when he was closing the other day? It's not, and we raise the dead. That's just part of it. That's just absolutely part of it. We're raising the dead. We're healing the sick. We're casting out devils. There's going to be so much taking place. But listen, If anybody ever does any of that and then they start talking crazy and start giving us another form, that whatever they've done is not a license for any of us to look and say, well, maybe God is confirming what they're saying. If they start saying, look, they won't say it. They won't say there's another gospel. But Paul said these guys are teaching you another gospel. When they begin to come in and say, look, really, we're mesmerized. This is how it happens. A group of people look at him and say, my God, you got him out of the wheelchair, or you raised the dead, or you. And then they start saying yes, and it's always humble, very humble. Yes, it is. Yes, God did it. But you know, if God did it, and I'm not saying the devil does all that, if God did it, God did it on simple faith. He did it because that person believed, or they just believed in the redemption of Christ. But once they begin to turn and say, well, look, you know, it's really not as strong a teaching on righteousness as you've heard Kirsten talk about, or the young adults that's been precipitated among them. You can fornicate. Really, if you love God, even if you fall and fornicate and fornicate and fornicate, and you do that all your life, God knows your heart. He knows your heart. I don't care if they have raised 10 people from the dead. That's probably not going to happen, because they're probably walking in a... But if they... Like I said, really the main thing that it takes for any miracle to take place is just simple faith. A miracle, again, rehearse this in your heart, a miracle, because it's going to happen to us. When they come in, we are not to conform to them, they are to conform to us. And I don't care if it's somebody that comes up in us. I hope it's nobody here. I don't believe it will be. I have faith to believe that you guys are seasoned, but that you never take what has come to you in the miraculous and use it as a platform to get your doctrine across. Hallelujah. Now that's just good teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Stay at the pillar. Learn how to behave yourself in the house of God. I would say this. I'm putting this forth. I'm like somebody that's asking or speaking, and then I'm answering the question. Print a quotation. Pastor, I already know the foundation. Yes, but listen. I already know the foundation. Pastor, I've been here for 20 years. Yes, but listen. I already know it. I've been here. I can come every once in a while and know what. Listen. Yes, you may have heard in the past the foundation, but new revelation is coming all the time on the old to support the ground for what is coming. How many of you know we've had successive, in the last 2 years, we've had successive series after series after series. I've heard some things that God has said through you, many of you, through myself, that I've never heard before. It's on the foundation. It doesn't take away from it, but it was built on its line upon line. Hallelujah. There are people, listen, I didn't come back with an attitude. I'm happier than I've ever been. So I'm not coming here. I mean, Lord Jesus, we've been blessed financially lately. I love all of y'all. There's no attitude in my heart. I'm just telling you this. There are people that consider themselves to be attending members of this church that don't have the faintest idea of the ground that we're standing on. If you have not been a part of the line-on-line teachings that have been coming from the house of God on both Wednesday and Sundays, you're not fully supported by this foundation. And I will say this. I put it in my notes so I say it right and don't get off. You cannot have a surrogate. You know what a surrogate is? A substitute. You cannot have a surrogate give it to you. It cannot come through a husband, a wife, a friend, or fellow brother in the Lord. They cannot install inside of you what is going on in the house of God, how to behave yourself in the house of God. On this walk, you're either engaged yourself or not. No one can do it for you. You can't mimic this. You can't mimic it. Sometimes people come in and mimic it, but all of us that are on it and really doing it, we know when somebody's mimicking it. We don't necessarily throw up in their face, But we know when somebody's just talking the talk, but not walking it. The days of allowed, again, I'll say it, and I'm not trying to get a bunch of people with an attitude in here to get rude, but I'm telling you, in your heart, we're growing to a place where allowed foolishness, like somebody trying to sow something that is contrary to what we all know to be the truth, those days are over. Hallelujah. We have to duplicate ourselves because of the babies that are coming in. They have to come in and only, it's just like, I don't want to belabor it because, you know, it's all a thing of grace. It's this thing of worship. We don't want to turn worship into something legalistic where people grudgingly, it's just like, okay, if you're going to come in here, worship with us, sit down or stand up. I don't care if you walk and worship, you know, but let's get in that vortex. Let's go into it. When the babies are being born again, they got to come in here and they got to have an example in front of them. And they see Miss Gay sitting there worshiping like I saw her, and I'm not trying to make her the example tonight, but I'm just saying when I come in, she was sitting there worshiping, and when the babies come in and see you sitting there worshiping, and it's like, okay, there's no command, there's no place, thou shalt have 30 minutes of worship. I think Jim's is 45. I'm not trying to copy him. I'm not trying to copy anybody. The Lord says, say all these private things that you get, those are instructions by the Holy Ghost. That's how you, the babies that are going to come in, they're going to come in, they're saying, you know, if we're all standing around talking, they'll talk too. But if they see somebody that is earnestly praying, and here's the thing, we don't get enough fellowship. All I know that. Man, I tell you, we don't get enough fellowship around here. If you want to hang around afterwards and an afterglow, that's fine, and talk and whatever, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of times Marty's got to leave and he locks up because he's got to go at 3 o'clock in the morning to Georgia or whatever. But if you're in fellowship, or I live close, I'll come back and turn the lights off. But the thing about it is, the vortex that we got to get into is we got to hone ourselves into a place where we're getting ready for this birthing process. We're serious. Hallelujah. We say, Pastor, we're already serious. I know, but he said this to the ones that are bearing fruit. I'm only going to come and cause you to bear more fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do y'all still love me? I got one, two. I get yours and Candy's. I know she. Hallelujah. I know there's more. Hallelujah. We're not. And I'm getting this across. I know I'm getting across, but we're not trying to bridge no gaps, okay? When they come in, and we're going to have a lot of people coming in the future. We're going to have a lot of people coming in. You've seen some people get saved. Carl's after me. He's after me. Pray for me. I got a lot on my plate, but I'll tell you what, I don't have too much that God's not going to grace me. I've got to write 3 or 4 books, little mini books. He's got some people that have just been born again. He wants to hand them something in our language, you know, how... I mean, I can go get something at Christ Center, and I can purchase a little book and says this is what born, but that's not us. It's got to come from our heart. It's got to come from us. And so Carl's saying, when are you going to do those books? And I've got to do them right away, whenever I can, okay? Hallelujah. But we're not trying to, when they come in, we're not going to try to bridge the gap. We're going to say, man, you're going to get more love in here than you ever had before, but we're not going to conform to you to try to keep you. If you don't like us and you don't like what we're saying, then God bless you. We'll hopefully see you in eternity. But this is it. This is it. This is what you get, and this is what we're teaching. And it's not just one man standing up there. It's a group of elders, men and women, because I consider the women just as much the elders that I know to be elders. They are speaking and saying the same things concerning that foundation, the things that we understand as the foundation. I'll just read this to you. Galatians 5, we didn't go to this one, but he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said this, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I heard Jim Martin say the other day, we're getting closer to closing. I heard, I think he was the last one of the guys that I listened to. He was, and we saw his Sunday morning, and then we saw his Sunday night. His Sunday night was amazing. They just had a worship. He only exhorted for about 15 minutes. But he said something. You know, Jim, he's real bold. And you'd really have to hear the whole service, because this may, if I say it like I'm going to say it, may sound, it could get misconstrued, but at the same time, I'll explain enough that it shouldn't. He basically said this: anybody that has ever left his church, God's the one that took him out. God's the one. And if you heard the teaching up to that point, you'd understand. And I identified. I said, yep, he's right. He's absolutely right. Maybe not initially, when it first started to brew inside of them, whatever it was that eventually took them out. And I'm not talking about looky-loos. I'm not talking about somebody that comes in. We've got some people I just love to pieces. They're here, and then they're not, and then they're here, and then they're not. And that's no indictment against anybody. Come as often as you can. But I'm talking about an elder that has come and sit and been nurtured for maybe 10 years and understood all this doctrine, said yes, watched everything, went, saw Pastor Dave, saw Gary, saw Jim, saw, you know, Donner. And they said, yes, glory to God. This is, you know, we believe in this 100%. And then whatever it was that eventually took them out, somebody said, well, Satan took them out. And maybe I've implied that before in the past, or said that in a loving way in the past. Initially, yes. Maybe the onslaught, the beginning part, the reasonings that eventually caused them to go another way. But when it comes to what Paul says here in Galatians, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, before it became leaven to us, God was the one that took them out. Do you understand that? Eventually, it transitioned from whatever battle they were in to a place where God said, I've got to preserve this, okay, and then God got involved. God took them out, okay? Is that saying they're not saved? No. Is that saying they don't love God? No. Most everybody is still, I've got concerns about one group of elders, but, you know, I know the whereabouts of others, and they're doing good in Christ. You know, they're doing good in Christ. I've said this before. Is it possible that someone actually could be here 10, 15 years and then leave us and then go and duplicate what we've believed and what we've understood? Yes, that is absolutely possible. That's perfect. I'll say this in love. Just so it's understood, has that ever been done up till this point? No, it has not. I do not believe that it has been done. Well, Pastor, you've said other people have left properly. I said people have left properly, but that doesn't mean that they left to be a part of something like this or to duplicate this. Do you understand? I have not known anybody that leave us yet that have left to stay under this doctrine or to follow the continuation of this path. Okay. And I'm not running anybody down. Do you understand what I'm trying to teach? How important it is for us. Let us continue to get strong, stay strong, and learn how to behave ourselves in the house of God. Hallelujah. Because it's the pillar. It's the foundation. Hallelujah. We didn't take up an offering. I probably should have done that first, right? Before I started talking about pre-service worship. Hallelujah. I turned around. I didn't look at anybody, okay? I tried not to. All right, let's all stand. I hope you got something. Father, I bless you. As Paul was very adamant about the soundness of the truth that Timothy was receiving, Lord, I'm asking you that we that are grown up, and there's a lot of grown-ups in here in Christ, I'm asking that those grown-ups, that you'll grow us up, that we'll grow another inch or two in spiritual growth, that we'll put on a little bit more spiritual muscle, that we will be not cruel nor rude, but intolerant to the foolishness that will be levied by the enemy in the days ahead to try to get us diverted. Bless now, I pray, this offering. Lord, I pray that those that are listening tonight, Lord, if you speak to their hearts, that they will send in an offering. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. If you have something tonight, Marty, if you can give us something to calm this raging crowd, hallelujah, we're going to bless the Lord. We love you. We'll see you Sunday.